any better. Two for Mbappe, two for Haaland, and then, of course, three for the GOAT.
Yeah, we've moved on from bigging up guys we never heard about before, like Virginia sure. and Tim Payne. And we got to the...
It's the World Cup, baby. I'm not here for a Mazzini, man.
The Cape Verde goalkeeper everybody knows about now. So on average, like how much have you been watching? Like, hours over under?
I've been a degenerate. I think that's the best way to describe it. I've been a degenerate. So I've been watching all day, every day, enjoying the fact that the matches are, you know, in our side of the hemisphere. So you can just fully indulge. And there's no other way to spend the World Cup than watching it all day.
I was absolute degenerate at 2 a.m. in the morning watching Austria finish off Jordan last night and doing the daily recap for Rabona TV. You can see our daily recaps every morning on Rabona TV and then the preview show each day at noon here on 90th Minute. We are presented by Bet365. We will get into today's matchups. Cristiano Ronaldo, no shocker, is starting for Portugal. That'll be the first game of the day at 1 o'clock. But a quick look at yesterday. Lionel Messi, hat trick, probably should have been sent off in the first half, but you know we will. no ref wants to be the guy that makes that call.
Yeah, no. Okay, if he got first off, it's not even that hard of a challenge.
Yes.
Okay, he didn't go in like reckless. Obviously, he probably shouldn't have had his studs up a little bit, but at the same time, even like the defender wasn't like complaining about it either. So this feels like a bit of a contrived reaction.
It's Ronaldo haters being like, Messi should have been sent off. It feels like that.
Maybe Ronaldo should try to score a hat trick, you know, in this one. And not just the number one against Spain. But, I mean, the match yesterday, it was just everyone had to tune in to see that. It's so funny to me that it was in Kansas City, of all places. You know what I mean? Where were you when Messi scored his first hat trick? Oh, you were at Kansas City. Cool. But, like, I mean, just the three goals, and especially the third one, it was just taken so well.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, Gonzalez, you know, like, it's a tough pass coming in from Gonzalez. And
sure,
he just, the way he, I mean, it's messy, right? But his first touch sets him up perfectly. And then the way he places the shot, I mean, we've seen him do it so many times, and yet it still amazes every time he does it.
And you can't give literally like one of the GOATs, okay? It may be the GOAT, but like maybe just the actual greatest player of all time. You can't give him two touches right at the edge of the box, like dead center too. It's like on his favorite left foot. It was amazing. But I watched it. It was very emotional. I mean, Messi obviously broke down in tears. You know, the coach broke down in tears as well as Scaloni. And I think it's just, you know, these are the moments that you watch the World Cup for. It's like, yes, it's cool to have like Cabo Verde like scrape for a draw against Spain. Yes, it's cool to see Canada get their first draw or whatever, but you're here to see the stars perform. And I mean, for Messi, like, he already did everything. It feels like the monkey's already been off his back with him winning it last time. But I come into this, it feels like Argentina's not even talked about so much in terms of like they should be favored to the repeat. Obviously, Spain and France are going to get that love, and maybe deservedly so for France.
It's because nobody repeats, though. Like,
no, I get it, but man, I think Messi is still clearly Lionel Messi.
Yes.
And the rest of the Argentina squad, all they do is exist to protect him, to win the ball back, to allow him to walk around, assess, and then just serve him and give him as many touches as possible. Everybody's willing to sacrifice. Very few teams have that coherent of an identity around, again, a GOAT player. So why not?
I didn't really think I could have like a higher appreciation for Messi, but getting, you know, this is the benefit of him playing in North America in Major League Soccer now, getting to see him at BMO Field a few weeks ago with Inter Miami, and I think he had a goal and two assists. And just, you see, when you get to see it live, you just see the way that he works into such tight spaces and plays off his teammates. It just, even though we've seen him do it for 20 years now, it's just a different level of appreciation when you get to see that moment live or get to see what he does so well live.
Yeah, and I think the beautiful part about watching Messi is the more that he's involved, the more beautiful the game becomes.
Yes.
Because we've seen, you know, the Arsenalification of soccer in the last, like, 5 years or so. And I watch a ton of Premier League like everyone else. And
as an Italian, it kind of just feels like...
You know? It's different when Italians do it. I don't know. You guys do it with like a suave, you know, everyone's like, wow, it's really cool how you guys defend. Meanwhile, with Arsenal, it's like harassment. But it's like, all it's talked about is like, let's flood the box and have like 18 guys like hump the goalkeeper. Or we're going to do long throw-ins like we're like, you know, Stoke City or something. And that's going to win the league, which is, you know, fine. It's obviously it's fantastic for Arsenal, but it's not good for the rest of the sport to watch that. And I feel like this World Cup, the more technical sides have been the more physical sides almost consistently across the board. And watching Messi, he's the personification of that. The way he's able to link up play, the way he's able to play those 1-2 touches, change the angles. I mean, Argentina always play relatively beautiful football, but I thought last night was on a different level. It was an emotional experience.
It was. Poor Zidane, his kid, getting just lit up as the goalkeeper for Algeria.
It's Ronnie James, buddy. You're off the hook. You're off the hook. We got a new Nepo baby on the scene.
It was. You didn't think Messi could set up any more records for his career, but he's the oldest player now to have a World Cup hat trick, stealing that record from Cristiano Ronaldo.
Right.
Also is tied now with Miroslav Klose for most World Cup goals, but I wonder, like, that's maybe not gonna last all that long. Kylian Mbappe had 2 yesterday. He's already at 14 World Cup goals at just age 27. Was a struggle of a first half for France, but then they Franced in the second half.
Man, it's funny because watching the first half, you're like, Senegal are getting better chances.
Mm-hmm.
They look to be matching France for pace and
they've
skill.
Got a really good squad.
They got a great squad. They're the true African champions.
Yes.
Okay, no matter what, you know, the counting says about sort of what happened. We all saw what happened in the Morocco match. I think you've asked Brahim Diaz who the real champion was after that shootout, but I think watching France turn it on, it's like, oh yeah, this team is terrifying. Do you see the starting four they had up front?
It's
like, oh my god, Mbappe, Dembele, Doué, with Olise feeding them in behind, and then Olise finally sort of like clicked in how to feed Mbappe, and it was like, dude, second half they could have scored 6.
Yeah.
It was so good.
And you can bring Cherki off the bench. I mean, embarrassment of riches for France, and there's a reason they are one of the favorites. So we'll get more into that. But also, Erling Haaland started his World Cup career, I guess, and 2 goals for him. Guy is a freak. Also, he paid some homage to Lionel Messi with a Snapchat afterwards, as we see up on the screen now. He was just like, Messi is a madman. Yeah, he's... he's absolutely a madman. And Norway's an intriguing team. I know everybody has them as a dark horse. You know, yesterday was kind of a layup for them a little bit against Iraq to start their tournament. But they do have a lot of talent on that squad, you know. In wide areas to get the balls into to either Haaland or even Sorloth. They got those 2 giant twin towers up top. They're going to be interesting as the tournament goes on and as we get to see them against some better competition. But let's get into today's matchups. And we've got another 4-game slate on the docket. The biggest of the day, the match of the day, is England as they get their tournament kicked off against Croatia, a rematch of the 2018 semi-final. And Croatia getting long in the tooth, but we've known this since going all the way back to 1998. You can never really discount Croatia going into a tournament.
Oh no, I mean, Croatia is like the last team you want to see. You guys can about that too, actually.
Pretty much
they're always long in the tooth. I mean, admittedly they are quite old, but at the same time they have such an experience. They obviously understand how to play together and with each other. It's never going to be an easy match. Having said that, though, I think the bar is too low for England, man. I think, especially given the fact that, you know, I mean, once again, they come with a very strong squad, come with all the expectations in the world. I know they have a couple injuries, but, you know, at the same time, like, I think this is a team that you should expect to get by this thing. Maybe like a 2-1 type of thing. But I think England will be heavily favored in this match.
It kind of feels like the buzz isn't there around England. As much as, you know, the whole it's coming home thing, it just doesn't feel as good as their squad is. And they are still one of the 5 big favorites of the tournament, as they should be. But it just, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the focus has been more on France and Spain as the 2 big favorites and maybe the defending champion Argentines.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think those guys have shown it. Even with Spain playing to a draw, I mean, what was their XG in that game? You know what I mean? Like, they should have won that match as well. But yeah, I think with England, like, I think it really just takes one win for everyone to buy back in. Are you kidding me? Like, I think everyone's, you know, dying to see, England break one of the eternal, you know, droughts in all of sports. And I think we're in a good moment in sports where, look, I focus a lot on basketball. We just watched the New York Knicks win the championship.
Yeah.
Anything's possible. Arsenal just won the Premier League in the first time in 20 years. PSG, you know, the last 2 years, they finally won, you know, the Champions League.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing these records snap all the time. And I think the big thing for England is, what's your cohesive team identity? Are you going to be able to find enough attack going forward around Harry Kane, who is just, you know, guaranteed to be a goal for you? Are you going to be able to defend enough in those structures around? I think that, you know, they play, all the players play in like the toughest league in the world. And then, of course, Jude Bellingham playing for Real Madrid is also quite tough as well. So the expectations should be as high for England as they are for any other favorite going into the tournament.
Jude Bellingham, not a nailed-on starter for England. It's between him and Morgan Rodgers is who could play the 10 going into this one. Bukayo Saka doesn't look fit enough to start, so it might be Noni Madueke on the right wing. But it's Harry Kane's team. You know, best striker in Europe this year, scored the most goals of any striker in the top five European leagues. We're expecting another big tournament for Harry Kane.
Yeah, and I think that the best part about Harry is always, not just is he like so clinical up front, but he's always able to drop back, link play. You know, going back to Messi, that was also one of the cool things, was like, oh yeah, Messi's just like, yeah, I'll just pivot to being a six. I'll pivot to being an eight. I'll be a 10. Obviously, I'm a 10. And I'll be a striker for you. But I'll just play all over the pitch, whatever you need. You know what I mean? You get a little bit of that sense from Harry Kane, especially in terms of like dropping back and building an attack. But that's where you need your wingers to be really clinical. And if there's one thing you could say about England, it's like, I don't know, like, are your wingers on that level of like Olise and like Mbappe and even Barcola with the beautiful finish? Or Doué, are you on that level? Because if you can be, there's nothing stopping this England team.
Yeah, it's one big injury they had just before they started. You know, they had to lock in their squad. Tino Livramento left the squad earlier this week, was replaced by Trevor Chalobah, but not sure it changes too much for Tommy Tuchel's side.
I was going to say, no, what's going to take for Trent Alexander-Arnold to even sniff the England team? I thought that's why he went to Real Madrid in the first place. This guy did 2 months or 2 years of Duolingo. Betrayed all Liverpool, my beloved Liverpool. Even you grew up in Liverpool, you still went there. And you didn't even end up as a replacement.
Couldn't even be a replacement.
Like, come on. And honestly, this team could use Trent. Like, I don't understand what's going on there.
Trent's just hated. And Thomas Tuchel he's made a lot of interesting choices with this team.
Very interesting.
I mean, yeah. I know Cole Palmer didn't have a great season, but the idea of Cole Palmer not being on this England squad after his play over the last, or his emergence over the last couple of years, is just wild to me. And a lot of people were like happy to see Gareth Southgate go. I'm not so sure Tommy Tuchel has the biggest approval rating right now.
Yeah, but again, if they win, the bandwagon's fully back on and the cup is coming home.
On to the next match. Another one of the tournament favorites, Portugal taking on the Democratic Republic of Congo today. And their starting lineup is already out. It is loaded and they've got Cristiano Ronaldo up top.
Yeah, I think that's actually the funniest way to describe it. Is the team is so perfect, and then they have Ronaldo up top. Look, honestly, I want Ronaldo to have these iconic moments too, because I actually think we're gearing up for like one of the all-time great World Cups. We have so many stars. We have the old stars. We have the young stars. We have so many nations that I mean, with the three hosts. Like, the energy's good. Like, even for all the fretting, and there's always a bunch of like, is the World Cup going to be good? There's always bad press going into a World Cup. Once it starts, it's a fantastic competition, and we're starting to see that through the first wave of games. And it would be really sad to me to see if Ronaldo ultimately lets down this Portugal squad, because similar to with Argentina, the rest of the Portuguese squad, as accomplished and as great as they are, only exists to prop Ronaldo up for his shining moment. This is the only thing that he's missing.
Yeah.
Right? He's got the Euro. He's already a champion for his country. And it's just, can he actually come through? He's going to get wonderful service. He's going to have incredible defensive play behind him. The midfield is so creative. I mean, you have Vitinha and João Neves in that double pivot. It's works wonders for PSG. They're going to have 70% of the ball or more. Ronaldo's just got to head in, hit a penalty, hit a sue, and just join the party, because Mbappe's there, Haaland's there, Messi's there. You know he's itching to have a similar moment.
Especially after watching Messi score a hat trick yesterday, he's going to have. The joke was going around on Twitter, Russell Westbrook level usage, which he always does.
Maybe I was going to say, he's going to do that regardless. No, but I think for him, it's like he's one of the most driven people. I mean, you even look at it. It's shocking to see because he's going to be the oldest player to start a World Cup match. He's 41 years old in 132 days.
So it is insane. He looks like he still looks like he was built in a lab, but and, you know, maybe I am a little bit biased with a little Italian Portuguese rivalry.
No, that's fine. It's been around Ronaldo,
my entire life. I'm one of the few Juventus fans that absolutely hated it when he first showed up.
Wow.
And I kind of wonder about the same things with Portugal and Ronaldo. Like is he just taking up too many chances on his own? Are there better shots out there for this team to take? If he passes off once in a while, but he never does.
Look, I'm actually fine with Ronaldo as like the target man in the box. His instincts, his athleticism. I mean, he's literally Ronaldo, one of the greatest goal scorers ever. I think the only thing he needs to do less of is just taking the free kicks, man.
Yes.
It's become a running meme. Every time he sends him a free kick, it's like the most anticipated free kick because you know he's going to hit somebody in like, you know, the 500s. So if he just passes, because like they have.
It's the run up.
Dude, you have Bruno there to take free kicks for you. Like, you have so many other great players that are options, and he's just like, you always see him. He like hikes his shorts up really high. He takes this like three gigantic steps backwards, and then he skies it. It's like, as long as he avoids that, I think it's actually fine.
So we'll see what happens. That one starting at 1 o'clock Eastern today, Portugal. Good enough to win the tournament. We'll see what happens. They definitely have a really loaded squad and a lot of people here in Toronto hoping they finish second in the group, and maybe England finishes second in their group and sets up a big time matchup at BMO Field for the round of 32, or should say Toronto Stadium.
That'll be a civil war. Goodness.
That would be something. Yeah. Into the later matches of the day, Ghana and Panama here in Toronto at Toronto Stadium. One big news bite that's come out of that match, Thomas Partey unavailable to Ghana as he was denied entry into Canada as yesterday a judge upheld the decision. On appeal, Partey was denied entry on the basis that he is facing trial in the UK on 7 counts of rape and 1 count of sexual assault. He has been granted a visa for the US, so he'll be able to play for Ghana moving forward in the tournament. They've got a really interesting squad in Antoine Semenyo, who had his big move to Manchester City in January. So they've still got talent, the Ghanaians do, and this will be, I'm curious to see what the crowd is like at Toronto Stadium, because I think Panama is going to show out big time.
Hey, well, I was going to say, I thought the Ghanaian fans have been showing up you know, all throughout the city, you know, like they've been parked outside the hotels, and I think like they're going to be in full force. I think the atmosphere is going to be fantastic. The Ghanaian side has some pretty strong talent, you know, like a lot of recognizable names, especially for people who watch in the Premier League. And, you know, I think that, you know, I hate to say this, but I feel like Africa needs a good result here.
Yeah.
You know, like I was really hoping for Senegal to come through and squeak some sort of result against France because they're that level of team. And then the first half, they had great chances. Obviously, South Africa starting the World Cup in the worst way possible.
Yes.
The North African teams are struggling as well. So, you know, and obviously Nigeria is not even in this World Cup, even though it's kind of unbelievable. I think there was a stat that went around. There's like 30 Nigerians who the diaspora are on other teams, but the actual country itself is not there. And they obviously have a lot of great talent. It's up to Ghana to represent for Africa right now. I'm not even kidding.
And the late match tonight is at the Azteca, Colombia and Uzbekistan. We saw Uzbekistan play against Canada recently. They lost that match, and Colombia, I mean, they've also got a really good team. Obviously, Luis Diaz up top. James Rodriguez going for one less salsa, I guess you could say. And,
still, huh? All right.
They've got a really good team. Really good starting 11. I don't know about so much of the depth on Colombia, but their starting 11 does have quite a bit of talent. We'll see how they start their tournament tonight.
Yeah. You know, as a longtime Liverpool supporter, Luis Diaz can be the best player on any game.
Yeah.
He is that level of talent. You know, I think you can ask any Bayern fan that as well from his performances this season. He turns up all the time for his country too. And I'm expecting him to just like absolutely dominate and run the show. We've seen so much great play from the wingers already in this tournament. For me, he's an elite winger, and it made me very sad when Liverpool sold him. I understood that they came with a big fee, but he also justified the big fee with what he did this past season. So yeah, they're always fun to watch. And if I'm going to be completely real with you, I don't know much about the Uzbekistan team. So, you know, hey, listen, I'm support all the Asian teams out there. Uzbekistan, go out there and do your thing, you know?
My Uzbekistan knowledge goes back to a player that was once in the Juventus reserves, Ilya Zaitulayev. Thank you, Football Manager. I would have not known that otherwise. But as a Football Manager stand, that's the only reason I know about that player. And Shoma Rudolph, who's played in the Serie A for like forever. All right, into our final bits of the show. Added time, a couple of news bites you need to know. Canada coy on Alphonso Davies' status for tomorrow in their second match, and it goes against Qatar. He joined training with the full team earlier in the week, and then he was away from the full team training yesterday. Canada not giving too much insight as to whether he will or won't be available for some minutes. It feels like, I don't know, if you're Canada, you're the heavy favorite against Qatar. I don't know if you really need to be playing some kind of mind games going into this match too much.
Oh, yeah. It's starting to, I completely understand the level of player Alphonso Davies is and his importance to Canada. But it's starting to become like a annoying thing. Every time I turn on, and obviously I've been watching TSN the whole time. And
yes.
Their coverage has been fantastic. But every time they talk about Canada, it's like, oh my God, Davies just did 5 keep ups. Is he going to play? And I'm like, dude, there's so many other things going on with the squad. I understand, you know, but like, look, they have to make adjustments based on how they played their first game against Bosnia. They were even lucky to come away with the draw in the end, even though they played well enough to win. But I mean, you were still down 1-0 going into the 80th minute, you know, and you needed like a fantastic instinctive finish by Kyle Aaron. Davies is going to help a lot of that. Moises Mambito is going to help as well. He's just a fantastic player. But I think we're focused a little bit too much on the injuries. And I think for Canada, the bigger question is who's going to start up top at striker. I know as a Juventus fan, you're already a little tired of seeing Jonathan David. I think he's got to give him at least one more chance. You know, it's only one game into the tournament. I think you still got to start him. But just figure out ways that you can create, you know, quality chances. And I think that in the second half, Canada showed us that when they play like that intensity as a group, especially when Stefan Eustachio steps up as the captain and just links all the play and flies in for tackles and covers every blade of the pitch, like that's when Canada's at their very best. They got to be quick. They got to be athletic. And of course, Davies is like a great additive, game-changing additive to all of it. But it's not a guarantee they win if he plays. I mean, we just saw the last World Cup.
Yeah.
We lost every game when he was out there at his very best. So all due respect, but like the focus has to be on the squad, not just on one player's fitness. And if I get one more update on him taking 2 keeps up in practice and whether that means it's a mind game or not, I'm sure the players are tired of it too at a certain point.
I can imagine so. You know, Davies has had like a bit of a hero ball problem when he's played for Canada.
Yeah,
trying
he
to
doesn't
do...
even stay in his position. He plays every position when he's on.
He just tries to do a little bit too much on his own. I chirp Ronaldo for it all the time. Mm-hmm. I've kind of felt that, like that with David, especially when things are going wrong for Canada while Davies is out there.
Which is him trying to lead, which, you know, you understand. But at the same time, it's funny because even in the qualifiers or even when they're playing like, you know, their regional tournaments and stuff like that, he's not necessarily playing in that style.
Yes.
So, whatever. I think Davies is a fantastic player. He deserves to be featured and discussed. And obviously, it's a question on my mind, too. But there's like 11 other guys on the pitch right now.
You know? David, you mentioned David. I think he's we're going to get a lot into Canada tomorrow. But David, he did so much well in the first, like tracking back. He does so many. He's such a high IQ player too, but the finish just hasn't been there for him all year, and it's frustrating to watch. Canada needs that. I really like what I saw from Ali Ahmed, and I think Jesse Marsh is going to have some interesting decisions to make, or be quick to make some changes if things aren't going well against Qatar, because it is a must win for the Canadians tomorrow against Qatar. Some other news, breaking news this morning. Ivory Coast player, midfielder Elia Wahi was arrested on suspicion of match fixing. There is an arrest about in Marseille. He plays in Ligue 1, and they're saying that he deliberately got a yellow card in a match on May the 17th. So that's a developing story as we go. Ivory Coast playing Germany on Saturday. Wahi did play in Ivory Coast's first match of the tournament. So we'll see how that develops. These are the stories that have happened over the last number of years, you know. With Newcastle player Sandro, former Milan player Sandro Tonali, getting a similar issue a few years ago. And finally, before we let go, over 8 million people watch Canada-Bosnia in Canada.
Yeah.
It's more than 8 times the amount of people that watch Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final.
I mean, all due respect, but, you know...
it's the World Cup versus hate-watching Mitch Marner kind of thing?
That's exactly it, you know. I think, look, Canada is... You know, we always do this thing. It happened in basketball when the Raptors won, too. It's like, Canada's a basketball country. Canada's a soccer country, you know. And obviously everyone thinks about Canada when the first thing they think about is hockey. But, man, Canada's just a great sporting country. I think we've turned up for all of our events. I was at an event with Dwayne De Rosario, like, the day before Canada-Bosnia. And he was like, Canada fans got to show up. They got to stop selling tickets. You know, Bosnia's going to show up with 20,000 people. I watched the game. Bosnia had two little patches of blue. You know, that was cool. You know, and, you know, some of our coworkers are in there. That's great, you know. But, like, ultimately, Canada has come out and supported themselves on the national stage. We understand how big of a moment it is to host the World Cup for the first time. And I think if they get into a position where they're in, like, a knockout game, I mean, I'm expecting viewership to be much higher than that. I mean, Canada's population is, like, almost 40 million.
Yeah.
Like, 8 out of 40? I think, if you know what I mean, like, it should be higher. I think by the end of it, if Canada has the type of tournament they should have, that should be up to 10, 15, you know, 16 million.
Yeah. If Canada does win Group B, they get to play that round of 32 match in Vancouver, too. So that would be the best way to go about it for the Canadians. Will, appreciate you jumping in. We'll see you here again next week. This is 90th Minute Daily. We're here each and every day at noon on YouTube. And, of course, the daily recaps on Rabona TV each and every morning. So hit that subscribe button, those notifications, all of that. And we'll see you here tomorrow at noon. Thanks for joining the live stream. If you enjoy this content, make sure to smash the like button. Also subscribe and get those notifications going so that way you never miss anything on the 90th Minute YouTube channel.